ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Inbound to Boston. Final seconds tick off. The Golden State Warriors back on top of the NBA once more. Four championships in 8 years. They win three straight to close out the Celtics in six games. The Warriors are the 2022 NBA champs. They beat Boston 103-90 in game six.
I have to be a professional, right? I can't just start off the show by whining and complaining about how Boston lost a title. Boston losing a title is like the world losing a title. It's bad for the entire world. I mean, it's been a rough 3 years since I last saw one. But your Golden State Warriors are the 2022 champions of the NBA after taking down the Boston Celtics in six games with a 103-90 victory in Boston last night that did not feel anywhere close to that. That was a blowout, a convincing win, a snuffing out by a Golden State team that it's just impressive that they continue to do what they have been doing for all of these years, especially considering the fact that they are nowhere close to the team that you saw 3-4 years ago talent-wise. You know, they're just not that team anymore. No one's arguing that. But in last night's game, it was like watching an older brother manhandle a little brother. "Uncle, uncle," said the Boston Celtics as they turned the ball over, what, 400 times, 20? I don't know. I lost count in the third quarter. I'm not sure which dribbling off of Jaylen Brown's foot or what Jason Tatum fadeaway trying to impersonate Kobe Bryant was my least favorite of the night. But what I do know is that Steph Curry is awesome. And I don't know that there are many people out there who are still of the opinion that Steph Curry sucks, but he wins the finals MVP after a game seven where he scores 34 points. He shoots 6 of 11 from outside. And I mean, he had to be the finals MVP. Yeah, I didn't play great in game five, but the rest of it, by far the best player on the court at all times. And there's a part of me that is really happy for him because now he gets his fourth title. Could have been five if not for Draymond Green stepping over LeBron James. LeBron James stepping over Draymond Green. And it's got me thinking about where he ranks among active athletes or any athletes that I've been able to see the entire career of. I'm 33 years old. When we talk about the best athletes we've ever seen, a lot of people are going to bring up Michael Jordan. I barely watched any of Michael Jordan, to be perfectly honest. I'm 33. My basketball consciousness, at least where I felt like I knew what the hell was going on, started probably with his second-to-last championship. Both those titles against the Utah Jazz. Like, that's when I remember watching basketball for the first time those years. And I can't really say to myself, yeah, Michael Jordan is someone who I watched the entire career of. I watched the 30 for 30 series, which was awesome. I forget what the title was. But whatever the case, I watched that, but I did not watch much of Michael Jordan's career, The Last Dance. So I decided last night, after the game was done, to put together a ranking of the best athletes that I can remember the entire career of. So let's start with number 10. And I feel like now that he has a Super Bowl title, it's easier to do it. And I wish that I could have put J.J. Watt in this spot, because watching J.J. Watt live from 2014 through 2017, 2018, before J.J. Watt got hurt for the first time, I mean, that's probably the best defensive player I had ever seen firsthand on a regular basis. But I put Aaron Donald at number 10. I mean, how many Defensive Player of the Year awards has he won already? How many more will he win? Number 9, we're talking athletes that I've been able to see the entire career of. Ray Lewis. I remember when Ray Lewis first came onto the scene with the Baltimore Ravens. And look, considering the Baltimore Ravens have never really had a great quarterback until Lamar Jackson, that they won two Super Bowls with Trent Dilfer
With Trent Dilfer as their first quarterback and Joe Flacco as their second quarterback. Pretty impressive. I know. He may or may not have obstructed justice, if not a whole lot more. I don't think that really adds to the career, but that is a guy who I think everyone considered for his entire time in the league as one of the best defensive players, and he has two championships to show for it. Kevin Durant, I have at number 8. Durant's titles with Golden State are definitely, you know, helpful to his resume. They're also things that hurt it. Because we both agree that Kevin Durant is still probably one of the top 3 players in all of basketball right now when he's 100% healthy. I think you have to say that. So I have Durant at 8. But the fact that he had to win a title with Golden State kind of takes away from him. As I continue this list of guys I've been able to see the entire sports careers of, Peyton Manning is at 7. Went to 4 Super Bowls, won 2, set all sorts of records, was a guy that in the playoffs that if the teams that I grew up rooting for, the Patriots, would go up against him, always was a little bit concerned, always a little fear in the back of my mind, even though New England did have success against him at first. When he was with Denver, I mean, all of a sudden, he started to get the upper hand against them. Number 6 I have in terms of athletes that I can remember the entire sports career of, Kobe Bryant, who I know a couple of days ago, people got mad about me saying, oh, we don't think Kobe's one of the best of all time. I think he's one of the best NBA players of my lifetime, but I don't definitively know that he's one of the best players of all time. I feel like putting Kobe Bryant in the same conversation as Michael Jordan, as LeBron James, I don't know if I can really do that because Kobe had Shaq, but Kobe had a hell of a career, that's for sure. Number 5, Tim Duncan. I mean, those Spurs teams were incredible, and I know Duncan, compared to Kobe Bryant, watching him, a little bit boring, but I mean, those Spurs teams were machines, and was he not emblematic of that Spurs machine that we saw for almost a 20-year stretch just completely dominate the NBA? Athletes that I've seen the entire career of, as this list continues, that I feel like I could say, hey, this guy is one of the best of the game. This one's probably needs an asterisk because I didn't see the entire career of, but this is the most dominant baseball player I've ever seen, and I don't think it's close. Barry Bonds. I have Barry Bonds at 4. I know, he never won a title, but I mean, I remember looking and watching ESPN and seeing the cutaways to just the chase that he had for, first off, the 70 home runs, then, of course, for breaking Hank Aaron's home run record. That guy was the scariest hitter I can ever remember. I don't care if he did steroids or not. Number 3, I have Steph Curry at 3. Because I remember this guy going all the way back to Davidson, where he single-handedly carried this nobody Davidson school all the way to, what, the Elite Eight? They were close to making it all the way to the Final Four. That run that he had with Davidson was awesome. So I always thought to myself, man, I really like Steph Curry. I hope it works out for him in the NBA. He has the ankle issues the first couple of years in his career with Golden State. But then all of a sudden, Golden State dumps Mark Jackson, and with Steve Kerr and with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green becoming what they did, they put together this incredible run. And I mean, Steph Curry, no matter what you might feel about his all-around game, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter that we will probably ever see in basketball history. He has changed the game from that perspective. The amount of shots he has taken, the amount of shots he has made, the percentage of shots that he has made, his ability to finish, all of the things that he can do, his handles. I can't think of a guy who I've enjoyed watching more, and that's why I have him ahead of Kobe Bryant on this one. Because I watch Kobe, and my God, I get, yeah, anyway, I mean, RIP and all, but I didn't like watching Kobe. Ball hog. All-around careers. Guys who I feel like are the best sports careers I can remember all of. I'm not a LeBron guy. I had to put LeBron at 2. I mean, LeBron was in the finals every single year for what, like a decade? No matter how you feel about him, and especially how he compares to Michael Jordan, I mean, I feel like his career kind of speaks for itself. He was the best player in basketball, and you would say either 1 or 2 for a good 15 years. And then number 1, I have Tom Brady. Duh. I mean, what did you think I was going to have at the top of that list? So the sports careers I can remember all of. There you go. Aaron Donald, 10. Ray Lewis, 9. Kevin Durant, 8. Peyton Manning, 7. Kobe Bryant, 6. Tim Duncan, 5. Barry Bonds, 4. Steph Curry, 3. LeBron James, 2. Tom Brady, 1. 713-780-3776 if you want to respond to that. 713-780-ESPN. Steph Curry did say this after the game was done, and it did make me think a little bit about a lot of people here in Houston who hated him so much, and also a lot of people who I think still hold some of his game against him. Steph Curry, a message for the very few haters who are left.
Jams, baby! right now.
What are they going to say now? Because I imagine there are some people out there and you don't like his mouth guards. I think the greater orthodontist community is probably not very thrilled with the way that Steph Curry wears his mouth guard. But where would you put Steph Curry now if you were one of those people that constantly was holding things against him? Because he won that elusive NBA Finals MVP, even though he probably should have won it in 2015 when Andre Iguodala won it. Do you have anything to say? 713-780-3776 if you have some thoughts on that list. Coming up next, the World Cup is coming to Houston in 2026. And it has me wondering, what are the teams that you would least like to see here? What are the countries that you would least like fraternizing with us in our midst, taking advantage of our Texas hospitality? We'll talk about that next right here. I am Paul Gallant. Vanessa in Indianapolis. Her eyes are getting fixed slowly, surely. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Yeah, baby.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Yes, I am.
Where at least I
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, look, the World Cup is coming to Houston in 2026, and you know me. Am I a little xenophobic? No. It's all in good fun. Listen, just like we will razz somebody for rooting for, I don't know, the New York Yankees and being a bunch of whiny little babies that are still bitter about the fact that they lost to the Astros in 2017, or a Dodgers fan mad about the same thing, we do the same thing with people from other countries. Just look at it like it's a sports team, okay? It's never personal. It's never mean. But it is kind of funny to randomly, I don't know, make fun of people from European countries for no reason whatsoever. And then just say it's because of sports, right? So the World Cup is coming to Houston in 2026. And I'm pretty excited about that because if you've ever been to a Final Four, I would imagine it's a kind of similar atmosphere. You're going to see people wearing colors of whatever country that they are from. They are going to be very loud. They are going to be very vocal. Hopefully, they will not be hooligans that will be causing, you know, street fights and stuff. But you never know, especially when some of those Euros come over here. Whatever the case, I'm excited to see the World Cup here in Houston. I will try to go to a game because of this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So North America, of course, is hosting the World Cup in 2026. There's going to be 3 sites in Mexico, 11 in the United States, and I believe 2 in Canada, Toronto and Vancouver. In the United States, they're having it in Foxborough for some reason. They're saying it's Boston, Philadelphia, New York, the other cities that they are having it in, Houston, Dallas, Kansas City got one, San Francisco, yikes, Seattle, yikes, Los Angeles, and then in Mexico, I think it's Monterrey. I want to say it's Mexico City, so Estadio Azteca, and there's another one whose name is eluding me at this point in time.
Guadalajara,
yes, which was in Narcos, Mexico, and that is all I can tell you about Guadalajara. So there are a bunch of teams that are in the World Cup in 2022, and there are some countries that we want to see here, right? I mean, look, I would like to have both Mexico and the United States play right here in Houston. I think it would be awesome. I think you would have a nice, like, definitely a solid representation from both fan bases. Although, I don't know. I think that one fan base might get overshadowed just a little bit. And I'm talking about the U.S. fan base. Ooh, Sam's Army. You're going to be able to step your game up. But there are other countries that, I don't know. I don't know if I want them here. I want them to keep their dirty mitts out of the United States of America and the United States of Houston. So I'm just going to list them. These are the teams that I do not want to see here in any way, shape, or form. First off, England. I don't want England here. I don't want those dirty limeys roaming around the streets, drinking pints of whatever crap, whatever swill they drink. What is it? Newcastle Brown Ale? And getting into fights over the fact that their team is going to underachieve. If England is here, it'll be a miserable experience. You're going to have a bunch of morons driving on the wrong side of the road, walking around town, doing all the things that you hate about the English. Hey, God save our queen! God save the queen. Do you like monarchy? Hey, why doesn't this bar have tea at it? What kind of crimpets is this in it? I don't want them here.
No, not at all. People I also don't want here in Houston for the World Cup in 2026. Australians, sorry, I don't want you here. No, you're like the English if they were criminals because you're descended from English criminals, okay? And look, you're a lot of fun, but you give an Aussie a couple of Fosters and the next thing you know, they're breaking into the Houston Zoo and jumping into a kangaroo pouch. Don't want that. Also, I mean, and this one goes without saying, Saudi Arabia, because of the LIV Golf Tour, okay?
It's a brave take.
Right. I don't want more Saudi Arabians coming here and taking away our PGA players and luring them over to the LIV Golf Tour, okay? Like, obviously, you don't want that. What else do we have? Oh, Germany. World War II, too soon. Don't want them here. How much more problematic can I get in this segment before I ultimately get canned for this?
I'm glad you're keeping it to Europe.
Okay.
And Saudi.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, I mean, that's Saudi Arabia is the easiest one, right? I mean, let's be honest.
That was a layup. Yeah, and then layup. You're keeping it pretty down the middle.
What else do we have here? Actually, I would like to see France here. Because I feel like they would just whine and complain about the heat the whole time, and it would be kind of funny.
It's just too hot in here.
Spain, I actually would want here because maybe, just maybe, they would open some of the bars past 2 a.m. to cater to our Spanish brethren. Because in Spain, they like don't go out until it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. A very different life that they live. And I would like nightlife to expand past 2 a.m. I think 2 a.m. closing time is crazy. Only New York, and I want to say... Is it L.A. that's open past 2?
I think it's Miami, right?
Miami, you're right, yes. It's like not enough cities are open. I'm not even sure if New Orleans is open past 2. It should be. What else? Countries I do not want to come here for the 2026 World Cup. Well, you know, that's pretty much it.
Russia?
Well, they're not going to make it, right?
Okay.
Are they going to be allowed back into the World Cup by 2026? Seriously, I don't know. I don't know about that.
How about Italy?
Well, I mean...
they got some problematic chants when it comes to soccer.
They do. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
They like to throw bananas at certain players.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I forgot.
Keep that out of my city.
Yeah, like everyone says the U.S. is racist, but they're like... but they kind of forget about the fact that all of Europe is significantly more racist than the United States. It is like kind of embarrassing. Like we get a lot of trash talk thrown our way for... not being the most racially sensitive country. And that's fine and all. But these countries where it's like everyone looks exactly the same, they are so much worse. And it never gets talked about. Like, hey, guess what? We actually live in a country where there are multiple cultures. You know, Canada talks the most trash. I don't want the Canadians here. I don't want them here either. Oh, they're so polite. Like, hey, get into it, okay? Like, get excited about your team. Oh, yeah, it was just a good game, eh? And if the U.S., you know what? Here's another one. And this one might get some people to, a little bit worked up about it. But teams that we do not want at the World Cup in 2026 in Houston. Do we want the U.S. here? Sean, you made a great point before the show. I know I said I want U.S. and Mexico. It would be awesome to get to see that firsthand. But I feel like Mexico is going to dominate like the U.S. in terms of like the fan participation and the fans actually showing up. If it were to be here. So I kind of would be a little bit embarrassed that the home field advantage would be completely wiped out. But there's something else at play here, too, that I kind of forgot about with the U.S.
Yeah, I just don't want U.S. soccer fans here. I'm sorry, not sorry. But I don't want the, I believe that we will win. Hey, guess what? We won't. I hate to break it to you. We won't. Become U.S. basketball fans. Then your chant will make sense.
Yes, I believe that we will win. No, we're going to be out. Probably in the first round, if not in the second round.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, like our sport. Okay, let me talk about it a little. Oh, you're talking about it wrong.
That's the worst part. Yes, when you like the sport, they get mad about it.
Like, but then if you don't like the sport, they get mad at that too.
Are they worse at people who are they? Excuse me. Are they mad? More mad at people who like the sport or people who don't like the sport? Like, it's really tricky. They are the worst kind of fan. They are the hipster fan base that appreciates something until everyone appreciates it and then hates on everybody else who appreciates the same thing that they appreciate, which should be a bonding experience for everybody.
They honestly should welcome in as many people as they possibly could, but it's their just completely confrontational nature about a sport that is niche in the United States, and it is a little annoying. So, yeah, I you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't want Sam's Army here.
And no matter what, Houston, very diverse city. It's one of the good things about this city. When it comes to hosting a World Cup game that potentially has the U.S., we will have a road game if we play in Houston. No matter what country it is.
Seriously, we would. We really would. I mean, shoot. Let's just go down the list of teams that it would be a road game for that are in the World Cup in this year's World Cup. Yeah. Mexico, definitely. Argentina. How are we doing against Argentina?
They'll run us off the field, field.
Well, we know that. Argentina and Brazil. There are bandwagon American Argentinian and Brazil fans. And you know what? I don't blame them. I don't blame them. We suck. We didn't even make the World Cup.
And if you're like half Argentinian or Brazilian, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Uruguay. Would we outnumber Uruguayans?
Probably not.
I don't think we would either.
I mean, I think we outnumber Uruguayans, but they care much more about soccer. They're more likely to be at NRG Stadium than we are.
Germany, they would outnumber us, no doubt about it. Spain, they would outnumber us, no doubt about it. France, yeah. The real premier European powers, they absolutely would. Costa Rica, would Costa Rica outnumber us?
Probably.
I think they would.
Probably. Anyone in CONCACAF, because it's relatively close.
Wales, would they?
No.
Okay, that's good.
We got the people still subjects to the queen.
How about Iran and Qatar? Like, that's the tricky one. I mean, look, Qatar might just buy out the whole stadium.
Qatar's not making the World Cup if they're not hosting it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Well, I mean, they could buy their way in there, right? Couldn't they find a way?
FIFA's corrupt. I won't denigrate the corruption of... I won't underestimate the corruption.
We would definitely outnumber the... Iran, Portugal, no. Switzerland, maybe. Canada, no.
No. Because it'll be played in the summer anyway.
Yeah, the Canadians are like, oh, we could get out of the winter, eh? It's going to be great down south.
You know what? Let's go down south to Boston.
Yeah, let's go down. There's a beach. It's a nice beach weather. 60 degrees. Oh, it's wonderful. I don't even know what that noise was anyway. There you go. So these are the countries that we would least want to see at the World Cup. Holly Rachel Worshipper says, do not let Paul Gallant on the welcoming committee. No, I think you should. Okay? This is the U.S. of A, and I'm proud to be an American.
We should have a welcoming committee with, like, you know, that's where they're nice and stuff. And then we have an unwelcoming committee where...
I'm the unwelcoming
people
committee.
People like Paul, it's like it turns into a roast.
Yeah, 100%. They're all out. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa in Indianapolis. Her eyes are getting fixed. The LASIK surgery. How about that? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. We will get back to that list of athletes that I have seen the entire careers of and how I rank them. Because some people are, of course, getting mad. Because that's how lists work. But up next, who is the better number 84 in NFL history when it comes to talking? Is it Randy Moss? Or is it Shannon Sharp? Plus something that has to do with the Tennessee Titans that should have you laughing. All that next right here. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studio. Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We'll see who the U.S. will end up with. Check that. What Houston, you know, the representative city of the United States, not all those other Northeasterners, we'll see who they end up with before the World Cup in 2026. Curious as to who you do not want to see there, but... Guess what, guys? We are 84 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. I know, Paul. My God, you're shoving NFL content down our throat. I know, but NFL is all that matters. Someone got mad at me, not Santa, because I didn't have any, you know, soccer players on my top 10 list of people I've seen the entire careers of that I can remember the entire careers of. Well, yeah, because I don't watch soccer. Sorry, I moved to the West Coast. I was like, wait a second, I got to get up at 6 in the morning to watch good soccer? Hell no, I'm done with that. And I have not changed my mind since coming back to the Central time zone. I'm not getting up early to watch international soccer. Sorry. I'll watch the World Cup. That's it. I don't care what Ronaldo's done. I don't care what Lionel Messi's done. I know that Messi's done a great job with tax fraud. And I know that Ronaldo successfully got off charges about something that may or may not have happened in the United States. How about that? As far as boxing goes, someone said, why isn't Floyd Mayweather on this list? Because he's a boring fighter. I'm sorry, I'm just not that impressed by his career. I'm guessing he's fighting paper tigers whenever he can to get whatever payday he can, and he plays a game of tag. He doesn't actually box. I'm not a boxing expert. I don't enjoy watching it, so he's not on the list either. Someone said Serena Williams. Sorry, I would never, ever watch tennis if I had the opportunity to watch it and be paid money. Sure, but I'm not going out of my way to watch tennis, ever. Sorry, nope, doesn't interest me. Not into it. Not enough violence. Not enough physical contact between other people. Not my thing. So, yeah, the list was all basically football and basketball players. Guess what? It's my favorite two sports. And baseball, let's be honest, hasn't really had someone that has completely dominated the whole sport and been successful in some way, shape, or form over the last 20 years. But, Paul, what about Mike Trout? Yes, he's great at war. He's great at wins above replacement. But how many wins do the Angels have? Anyway, we're 84 days away from the start of the NFL season. What are the best 84s in NFL history? Some might say Shannon Sharp, who in 1996, during a blowout victory over my New England Patriots, he did this to a bunch of masshole sports fans.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help. Please help these folks. They're coming.
He is a forgotten great trash talker. And obviously now you see him on the... It's Undisputed, right? Okay, I actually got the show name right. He's on that show now with Skip Bayless, and you don't think of him as the awesome tight end. He was one of the best tight ends in NFL history, but he was an unbelievably awesome trash talker too. And if you didn't see there, if you haven't seen that video, he picks up like one of those old-fashioned telephones, this red phone on the sideline in the midst of a game. And the Patriots were getting their asses kicked by the Broncos. I think the final score was like 42-6. And Denver ultimately should have made it to the Super Bowl as the AFC champions that year and should have made it to three Super Bowls in a row, but they blew it against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home in the second round of the playoffs. But in that year, the Broncos were awesome. I think they finished 13-3. Terrell Davis was having a great year. And Shannon Sharp was also having a great year with John Elway. And yeah, he picks up a phone and he says, hey, you guys need some help. So he calls in the National Guard. Some other great moments from Shannon Sharp's career. But my favorite 84 is Randy Moss. Randy Moss with the Minnesota Vikings. Randy Moss, before he went to the Raiders, before he went to the New England Patriots, this Randy Moss, who disgusted a nation on live TV.
Moss! Randy Moss is in for a touchdown!
Oh, Al Harris playing off, bit up on the route, and Randy Moss, without even really being able to run, as he shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
Is a disgusting act by Randy Moss, and it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting by Randy Moss.
Oh my God. And I love Joe Buck. I know a lot of people out there don't like Joe Buck. He's biased against my team. I don't think he actually is. But in that moment, it's funny, first off, just noticing that Chris Collinsworth was there, because Joe Buck and Chris Collinsworth used to be doing the call on Fox. It's also funny to hear Chris Collinsworth, who's clearly amused by the fact that he mooned the crowd. He's showing the crowd the moon! And Buck being as disgusted as he was by not an actual mooning. It was a fake mooning. Had we actually seen Randy Moss's ass and, I don't know, the goat from Waiting, that would be something else. But instead, we saw just a man imitating pulling his pants down. And he told a story not too long ago about how while he was driving into the stadium, a bunch of Packers fans mooned him, like actually mooned him. So we're talking like just gross, fat Wisconsinites who probably had a bunch of cheese curds that are, you know, showing Randy Moss what I would imagine was a much fuller moon. He was just shooting it back to them. Packers fans, so classy. Joel Blank getting so angry right now, probably. Clenching his fist in rage as I say that. But the People's Republic of Green Bay, look, they're, you know, not exactly the classiest people. Anyway, Randy Moss is with number 84. I think my favorite number 84, but I feel like you could make a strong case for Shannon Sharp. A funny story that has to do with the Tennessee Titans. So remember a couple of years ago when the Titans, with one of the many whiffs that they have had in the first round over the past decade, when they drafted Isaiah Wilson, the tackle out of Georgia, who I'm not mistaken is already out of the league. Offensive tackle from Georgia, who is a free agent. He played 1 year with the Tennessee Titans. One. He was a 29th overall pick, so I guess it's not that big of a bust, but he played 1 year before they traded him to Miami. He couldn't stick with them. And then he went and had, a offseason practice squad journey with the New York Giants. He couldn't stick with them either. They could potentially be on their way to another first-round bust, and they've had many of them over the last couple of years. Treylon Burks is the wide receiver that they drafted out of Arkansas after trading away A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles. And the idea is that Treylon Burks is going to step in and fill that void for a Titans team that was the one seed in the AFC last year. I don't think that's going to happen. Why? You know what happens when rookies don't get a lot of time in at practice. We have seen it firsthand here with the Texans. I remember Xavier Suafilo, who was late, the first pick of the second round back in 2014. I guess UCLA couldn't graduate on time, so he had to wait a little bit to actually report to camp. And it always felt like he was behind compared to everybody else on that team. Well, Treylon Burks has had to sit out OTAs as he deals with problems related to asthma. He has missed practices in minicamp with the Tennessee Titans as well. Here's Mike Vrabel, thrilled when asked about Treylon Burks.
With Treylon, where he is at this point, is there a separate plan for him from the other rookies? Or how are you going about just getting him ready to go this offseason?
Well, he'll be here on Monday. He'll be here tomorrow.
He sounds so mad. And I don't blame him. Imagine you just drafted Isaiah Wilson a couple of years ago. He's not even on your team anymore. And then take a look at some of the other first-round picks that the Titans have drafted just over the last decade, which Vrabel hasn't been there for all of. But 2011, Jake Locker, bust. 2012, Kendall Wright, not very good. 2013, Chance Warmack. Warmack was okay. Taylor Lewan in 2014 is probably the best pick that they've made outside of Jeffrey Simmons, who they got in 2019. But the other picks that they've made in the first round, Marcus Mariota, bust. Jack Conklin, not on their team anymore. Corey Davis, not on their team anymore. Adoree Jackson, not a very good player considering he was the 18th pick. Rashawn Evans from Alabama. Rashawn Evans is a good player? I don't know. Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, and now Treylon Burks. The Titans have not done a very good job drafting over the last couple of years. And I feel like this is another highlighting of the mistake that they made. They should not have traded A.J. Brown. They should have tried to make something work. And the reason that they didn't make it work is because they're a cheap organization. Why? How do I know that? Because they are already begging the city of Nashville for public funding for a brand new stadium. And that stadium that they have, it's not the newest, that's for sure. But that's a stadium that was built in, 1999? It's not that old of a stadium. And they are already begging for local tax dollars to build a new one. That's why they didn't bring back A.J. Brown. They are cash poor. And they're bringing in this guy, and it already looks like he's going to be behind the eight ball. And I got to admit, I love it. Nothing against Treylon Burks, but the Titans are struggling, and if the Titans whiffed on another pick, I think that's great. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Vanessa is out. She got some LASIK surgery. She'll be back soon. Coming up next, what is it that makes you loyal to someone else? Because Jadeveon Clowney, for whatever reason, is still loyal to Deshaun Watson. You will hear his explanation as to why next, right here, Vanessa and Gallant.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll get back to that list I put together of the top athletes I can remember the entire career of at 11:15. One person is saying, well, Floyd Mayweather fought more good fighters than anyone. Whatever. You know what? I don't like Floyd Mayweather. How about that? I just don't like him. So he's off the list. This is my list, baby.
You always have the out of, well, I didn't watch him. I didn't watch his sport. So he was great in a sport. Joey Chestnut. He's great. Never watched him.
Right. That someone else texted it. Joey Chestnut with the WTF, but I think he's saying this in jest. Actually, I remember Kobayashi a lot more.
Ain't Kobayashi better?
Mm-hmm.
He got blackballed.
Yeah, he did. What did he do? Did he really get blackballed?
Let me do some research before I
I would totally believe you. Let's get into, like, what's the biggest controversy in hot dog eating over the last 20 years?
Actually, let's save it when we're closer to the hot dog contest in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
We're going to be really reaching for some stuff when we come out with the Kobayashi ranking list.
Hot take, hot dogs, not very good. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I said this before.
Save some for the 4th of July. Come on, man.
Well, I'm off that day, baby. I ain't going to be here, hopefully. Although you never know. Sometimes, at certain companies, you're forced to work on that holiday. And I would, by say certain companies, I would say every company I've worked at except for this one. Flagship. 710 in Seattle. Whatever. Hey, everybody. It's me, Paul, your friend. And I have a question for you. What do you need out of somebody to feel absolute loyalty to that person? I like to think I'm a little too loyal at times. If somebody tells me something and they say, hey, don't tell anybody about it, I get very nervous about telling anybody else. And I'm not very good with secrets. And it's the worst when people will ask you, hey, what happened? What's going on? And I won't say anything, but you can tell how stressed and tense I am and generally probably get a read on what the hell's actually going on if you were to just confront me, ask me about it. But loyalty is something that has to be earned. Usually it's when someone does something for you, sticks up for you, does something for you in a really, really big spot. So I'm wondering why it is that Jadeveon Clowney feels a sense of loyalty to Deshaun Watson. Jadeveon Clowney, of course, played with Watson when he was a member of the Houston Texans. He now is a member of the Cleveland Browns and, again, is Deshaun Watson's teammate. And this is what he had to say about his reasoning for coming back to Cleveland for 2022.
I did this year because I told him I was all about where my boy Deshaun was going. When I talked to him, I saw I played with him, and he kept us off the field a lot. And I was like, wherever you go, I know you're going to keep us off the field. You put up a lot of points, put us in rush and rushing situations instead of having to stop the run all the time. And I just wanted to go play with him and see what I can do with him again.
Now, it's a reach.
Deshaun would have ended up in Atlanta. You would have tried to get
there. I probably would have. I probably would have followed him there. Who knows? But he ended up here. So we here now. That's over with. Let's go.
My apologies for stepping over that. Clowney clearly thinks Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback. But to double down and to do it publicly during a time where Watson is probably the most polarizing figure in sports, including more polarizing than probably even Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Commanders. It's surprising that he would say, yeah, my boy Deshaun, I would follow him anywhere. Yeah, I would have even gone to Atlanta with him. And it does make me wonder about what the relationship off the field is like. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if maybe Watson did something for Clowney or if there is something that the two went through together other than just the Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby era that perhaps has made them a little bit closer. But it's a surprising thing to sort of pledge your loyalty quite like that. All I can do is speculate on it. But when I saw that quote, I also started thinking about when Tyreek Hill, for whatever reason on his new podcast, decided to take some subtle shots at his former quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. This is something that you could argue was done because he was trying to get a little publicity for his new podcast. But at the same time, the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are the reason that Tyreek Hill is now a mega millionaire. Tyreek Hill, don't forget, at Oklahoma State, basically uppercut his then pregnant girlfriend and off the field has an extremely checkered past. It's hard to root for him because of that. I think he's a tremendous player to watch. I used to feel the same way about Antonio Brown. But the problem is, with what these guys are off the field, it actually does kind of blend in. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to publicly support this guy. And yet, that's what the Chiefs did. That's what Patrick Mahomes did. That's what Andy Reid did. That's what that whole organization did. And yet, here he is throwing shots back. And I got to give Patrick Mahomes a lot of credit because he was asked about those comments by Tyreek Hill just yesterday. Here was his response.
I'm surprised a little just because I feel like we love Tyreek here. We've always loved him. We still love him. I saw him out at Formula One in Miami and everything like that. But, I mean, I'm sure it had something to do with trying to get his podcast some stuff and get it rolling. Definitely, I still love Tyreek. He's a one-of-a-kind player.
Patrick Mahomes still showing Tyreek Hill a little bit of loyalty. Definitely does not need to anymore. Hill wanted to get paid. He wanted to leave, and he made the Chiefs worse along the way, even though the Chiefs did basically everything that they possibly could to give Tyreek Hill the career that he has. I'm not saying that the NFL's players need to be loyal to an organization that at some point, when they feel like they can't use that player anymore, will toss them in the trash. But it seems like this would be an exception. And to take shots on your way out, even if they are subtle ones, I think is an awful look. Tyreek Hill, I don't think he understands the concept of loyalty. And I got to say about Mahomes, who, as far as likability rankings among athletes go, like Giannis is definitely number one. That might change in the near future, but I have a hard time finding anyone really giving a good reason for disliking Giannis. Although there are some like obnoxious Rockets fans that were doing that during the whole Giannis versus James Harden for MVP conversation. When Harden was taking shots at Giannis, some people were joining in because they are stands for Harden and his schleppiness. But Giannis is number one. Patrick Mahomes is very close number two. And Mahomes has got to be the most patient mother bleeper in all of sports, right? Think about it. Okay, Tyreek Hill's taking shots at him and his accuracy. And he says, yeah, you know, he's just trying to make the podcast better. I still like Tyreek. His wife, listen, I'm sure he loves her, but is she not, at least from the outside looking in, tiresome seeming? His brother, my God. That's all I need to say. TikTok star Jackson Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a really patient guy. There's some story too about like at his dad, like at a Texas Tech game or something like that, where his dad kind of made things a little bit embarrassing for him. There's a bunch of stuff that Mahomes, I think, has dealt with, and he has always handled it with remarkable grace. I give him a lot of credit for it. I really do. And to handle that question that about Tyreek Hill the way that he did, I think it shows his character. Tyreek Hill, I don't think he's got a whole lot of it, showing loyalty. And I also am wondering why Jadeveon Clowney is showing loyalty for Deshaun Watson, because this could look a lot worse for Jadeveon Clowney a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. I'm sure there is still more to drop this summer that has to do with Deshaun Watson and massages that he has solicited over the course of the last couple of years. I'm sure there will be more. Weird that Clowney would stick his neck out for him. I guess he's a loyal guy. I guess he's a foxhole kind of guy. Just a strange, strange move, though. I don't... Like, Myles Garrett, I think, had the better answer when asked about Deshaun Watson. We played that a couple of weeks ago, where Myles Garrett said, look, I don't know the facts. You don't know the facts. I'm not here to be judge, jury, and executioner. Clowney's saying, that's my boy. I'd follow him anywhere. That's loyalty, that's for sure. Why the loyalty is there, I don't know. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Do you hate the Warriors again? Because last night, I could definitely see how people would all of a sudden stop thinking the Warriors, who for a brief moment in time have become cool again, are no longer cool. You will hear them next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's